Hello and welcome back. It's episode 123 of the Chaos Ball Podcast, the first podcast of the off season. Technically, I mean the last one. I guess the Mariners off season technically started by that point, but now the off season is actually beginning. The day this comes out is the day that players have to the deadline for contract opt-ins, which is fun. We already know the Mariners free agent guys with the news of Jorge Polanco declining his option, which is not shocking at all, and maybe I'll touch on that more at the end of the show when I briefly go over what this team potentially needs. But this show's not going to be a let's read this list of free agents and trade targets and see what makes sense for the Mariners. No, I'm going to be more or less going over what went right, what went wrong of this season. A couple of my takes I've been holding on to about this team and where they're at and where they have to go this offseason yet again. And then I think next week I'm going to take a closer look at the chatter around this team. We kind of already know the budget they're working with, which sucks that we know that already, and what I think they're going to do, impossible to predict, and then what I hope they do with free agency. But we have a little bit till all that stuff really starts to happen. I mean, we're still not even at the option deadline yet. And there's plenty of ways to go. I mean, the offseason technically begins the day this comes out, is the deadline, 4 p.m. Central, to decide whether to issue qualifying offers to guys. Opt-out clauses have to be done. But we know that it's the Major League Baseball offseason. I mean, it's kind of a slow burn. It's not anything like the NBA offseason where it's just a mad dash to sign guys. I mean, we get like awards on the 6th and the 7th, the Silver Sluggers. We have GM meetings the 10th through 13th, which is just nerds talking to each other about how they want to build their teams in the offseason. Jerry DePoto, Justin Hollander have a whiteboard they're writing names on. Jerry has already actually made a trade. He traded cash considerations for a relief pitcher, which I think really marks the offseason start, is when Jerry DePoto makes his first cash consideration for reliever trade. We'll see many more of those, and hey, who knows? One of those guys might make an impact on the team next year. One of those guys might make an impact and throw 3 scoreless innings for the World Series winning Dodgers in an 18-inning affair like Will Klein just did. You just never know what's going to happen. But then awards are the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th this month is Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, Cy Young, MVP, Reliever of the Year, Comeback, Hank Aaron Award, All-MLB. I still think it's absolutely batshit that they wait that long to do awards. I just can't believe they do that. And then the 18th is when guys have to accept the qualifying offer by. That's the Rule 5 protection deadline as well. Then the owners have their meetings. And then I think actually the true day that offseason transactions start has to be the non-tender deadline, which is the 21st. And then you get the winter meeting starting on December 7th. So I feel like the 21st through the 7th, we'll probably see our first big flurry of things to happen, I would imagine. But yeah, you never know, I guess. The World Series is really fun. I'll say that before really getting into my thoughts on the Mariners season and whether it was a success or not. World Series is super fun. I mean, I don't really care that much if the Dodgers won. I wouldn't have cared much if the Blue Jays won. It was super entertaining. I think it was one of the better World Series that I've watched in my young life. Went to 7 games. It felt like it was going to have to with this Blue Jays team. They were the underdog. They took the Dodgers to the brink. And I will say it, I think it actually played out, except for the end of the series, I think it played out similar to the ALCS. I think over 7 games, I think the Blue Jays outplayed the Dodgers. And then they ended up losing. Much like I think the Blue Jays outplayed the Mariners, but it still went to seven games. But the Dodgers ended up prevailing. That game seven was awesome. I mean, game three, was it game three, the 18 inning, I think? Game three was sweet. I mean, that was watching a never-ending game when it's not one of your teams is incredibly fun. I think there's a feeling that I can't capture with anything else of being up way too late watching a never-ending game, like watching a football game go into six overtimes, or watching that baseball game that was 18 innings, or like a multi-overtime basketball game where it's like you should be in bed, but this game keeps going on and you know you're not going to turn the TV off until the game's over because you wouldn't forgive yourself. There's a feeling I can't capture with doing anything else. And that was so much fun. But game seven was awesome. Like, what a game. I think the Dodgers being there and winning again, it shouldn't be a hot take to say I think it is good for baseball. Now, we'll get into three-peat territory next season and whether or not that's good. But I genuinely think this World Series and the Dodgers winning again is good for baseball. And it also wasn't a huge payroll versus a low payroll team. That narrative would be incredibly lazy to say, which some people have. I mean, the Blue Jays spent a ton of money. Like, the Dodgers are on another level, but is the ruining baseball takes are so tired to me, and I'm tired of hearing them. I feel like I get the sense baseball's thriving. I mean, I'm not a huge ratings watcher, because I also personally I'll watch baseball no matter what. But the ratings seem great. I mean, maybe that is because there was a Canadian team in it, so that's a whole different country watching the sport versus New York and LA last year. But I don't know. I feel like baseball's thriving. The Dodgers are good for it. I think it's fun to hate them, especially now that they have two World Series back to back. Like, they've been a dynasty for a while. They've won 65 NL West titles in a row, but now they have three World Series titles in the last 5 years. Absolutely a dynasty. Good to hate them. I think it's good that baseball is has this team to hate. And the fact that they use their resources to the extent that they do, I mean, they have a leg up financially on a lot of teams. That's not like crazy to say. It's a fact. But they use it to win. They use those resources to win baseball games. It's frankly embarrassing for a lot of other teams that don't do this. I mean, the Mets are trying. A lot of other teams are spending a lot of money, but it's going to be absolutely exhausting even more next season because we have impending work stoppage, which is absolutely a huge, maybe the key, like, talking point of how teams will negotiate contracts this offseason, I feel like. But it's going to be exhausting next season because of that. Because it'll just be revolving around a potential salary cap, which, no, but that's probably why work is going to stop. I don't think the owners have any problem with work stopping if they can manage to get a salary cap in the sport. But fun World Series. I think, again, good for baseball to have a Goliath to hate. It would have been cool. I mean, even losing to the Blue Jays, it did feel kind of nice watching them lose a little bit. It felt kind of nice watching George Springer lose, especially. And I'm not a Dodgers fan, but I do live down here and know a lot of Dodgers fans. I'm happy for them. But it would have been cool to see the Blue Jays win in, like, what, for the first time in 30 years. That would have been cool. Either way, this World Series was awesome. Greatly enjoyed it. Really good for baseball is on the whole. I think the sport's thriving. But now we get to talk about our favorite baseball team, the Seattle Baseballing Mariners, who came so close to tasting the World Series, and yet it feels so far away now. And even before I touch on the Mariners, I think, are we gonna see another offseason where it's two teams trying to spend a bunch of money while the other 28 collude to spend as little as possible. I feel like that's what we're going to see, especially with owners seeing a lost 2027 season in our future. Those two teams spending money would be the Dodgers and the Mets. How they spend the money, whatever. But it's, you could even say it's just the Dodgers really trying to compete, and the other 29 trying to collude to spend as little as possible and try to compete that way. But we'll see. But these Mariners, the 2025 season, I mean, this is why we're here. Was this season a success? And I think it's a no. I think it's a no. I think I'm growing up a Mariners fan has made me, I think, a more well-rounded individual on the whole, despite being invested this much emotionally in one sports franchise, is definitely a net negative on, I don't know, it's just kind of an insane thing to do. But it's given me a lot of perspective. I'm not necessarily a championship or bust kind of guy with my sports teams. I think a lot of people are for their teams. I think it's okay to call a season a success if you don't win at all. And if the Mariners made the World Series, they won the pennant and the division, maybe I do call it a success. But they didn't do that. They won the division, which is great. But then they didn't get over the hump and beat the Jays and go to the World Series for the first time in their history. And I think that's a failure. I think what we saw this team do post-trade deadline, heading into the postseason as the two seed on just a hot streak, they didn't even have to play in the freaking wild card. We saw this team and what they could do. And I think that is when the World Series. I think this team was very capable of winning the World Series. And so that's why I think it's not a success. I'm wondering what I would have said on opening day if you told me exactly what would have happened this season. They go to Game 7 of the ALCS. Heartbreaker loss to what was the best team in the American League this year, the Blue Jays. Maybe I would have called it a success then. Like, again, you win the division, you have some outstanding individual seasons, and yet you fall just short of breaking the curse of not being in a World Series. Maybe I would have called it a success back then, but I'm not going to now because of how good we saw this team play. And I think a World Series had to be a successful season for them this year, so I'm going to call it not a success. But was I happy about this season? And I think it's a resounding yes. I think I'm never not going to be disappointed with how it ended. I am going to relive that Springer home run in my head for the rest of my life. Probably even if the Mariners go on and win the World Series next season, I still think I would relive and shiver at that home run that George Springer hit. Like, that's going to be one of my biggest disappointments of my entire life, for sure. But I think I'm still happy about this season. I was still kind of pissed for most of it until the trade deadline. And then I think I said this on the last pod, I think from basically September until that Springer home run, it was the most fun I've ever had in my life watching sports, watching Mariners baseball. So much fun. I mean, we saw them finally win the AL West for not the first time in my life technically, but the first time I was able to actually enjoy them winning the West. They did it. We saw a guy in Brian Wu who came up through the org blossom into an ace. Julio again put up another awesome season, another homegrown guy. We saw Cal Raleigh put up hopefully an MVP winning season, but that was enjoyable to watch all year. He hit 60 home runs as a catcher. That's insane. I mean, there were so many awesome storylines and parts of this season, and them winning Game 5 of the ALDS was amazing. Like, even getting to go to the ALCS was awesome. Experiencing October baseball like that, when we've been so deprived, was I mean, it was very nerve-wracking and stressful, but on the whole, 100%, I mean, we want to do it again. It was incredibly fun. So, yeah, I'm happy about this season, despite me not thinking it really is like a success. But I'm very happy with what we watched this year. It was, for the most part, really fun. And so that's how I feel about it. I mean, despite how the season ended for him, the fact that a guy I globbed onto for no real reason other than I really liked how he pitched in Edward Pizzardo in 2023, the season that he had brought me immense joy. So much joy that, because sometimes, and I've talked about this, you just like a player. It doesn't matter if they're good or not. Sometimes you just really like a guy. And the fact that he came out and had the year that he did is just, oh, it's beautiful. It was so good. So yeah, I'll be forever sad. I will be forever sad that they were 9 outs away from winning the pennant for the first time in their history. I'm still sad about it right now, just saying those words. But there was still so much joy from this season. And so that's what I'll take away. And now to really get into the meat of the pod, I have a take that I've been holding on to, honestly, since they were playing in the ALCS. Going to go over just what went right with this team this year, what went wrong. Already thinking about next season, already thinking about where the top free agents are going to go and then which of the other guys the Mariners are going to sign. But I'm going to take a break really quickly. So for the next, after these first 17 minutes, if I sound a little different, it's because I took a break to have a snack and make some tea. So I'll be back in a second. For you, it'll literally be a second. And I'm back. Not only did I have a snack and make tea, I also did a sinus rinse, so I might actually sound quite different. But let's get in to these freaking Mariners. But first, I do have my take. The take I've been holding on to. You know what? It's not even really a take. It's more of my personal opinion, but it might be a relatively inflammatory opinion. I'm not sure. Tell me if it is. I thought about this during the LCS. I was thinking about it a lot the past couple weeks, and I haven't really changed my tune. This season did not really make me think that differently about Jerry DePoto, like, at all. Maybe that's a lukewarm take. Maybe that's a popular opinion. I'm not really seeing him in a new light after this season, despite what they accomplished. Like, they did a lot this year. I also think throughout the history of this podcast, I've been very fair to Jerry DePoto. I've called him a good but flawed GM, or Pobo now, constantly. I've always kind of held that line that he's done a lot of good, but he's still quite flawed. I've acknowledged the good that he's done, the player development apparatus he's put up through this organization, the scouting that he's overseen. I think the scouting department is really good on the amateur level. The pitching development goes without saying. I think the hitting development is still, like, I don't know if they can really develop hitters consistently enough for my liking. I don't want you to just point at Cal and Julio. I'm thinking bottom of the lineup guys, they need to develop a little bit more, but that's a personal gripe, really, that I think they should be doing that better. I have also been fair and acknowledged that he doesn't own the team, so the constraints that he has to work with aren't necessarily his fault. I've talked about him needing to convince them to spend more, but ultimately, it's not him setting these budgetary parameters on himself. I gave him his flowers this year at the trade deadline. It was a great deadline. It worked out very well for them, despite probably needing another great relief arm that was available. They tried to get Duran. They didn't pivot. I did say that at the time. and they kind of needed it in the playoffs, but whatever. That's, we can't be doing that. We cannot be looking back like that. That would just make me angry. And then they made the playoffs. And by that point, October baseball has nothing to do with the front office or ownership. Like, they build the team to get there. Often, if you're a great team going into the year, maybe you do think about team building for a playoff run. I mean, you build a team statistically in the Mariners that was kind of built to win in the playoffs. That's there's credit there. Like, they hit a lot of home runs. They, in theory, had good pitching that the Blue Jays just ran through because their offense was so good. But you get my point. Like, the October baseball is like, all their work, most of their work is to get to that point. By the time October rolls around, if you are in it, if you're playing, an 84-win team, like the 2023 Diamondbacks, can make the World Series. This Mariners team was good enough to win the World Series. There's a lot of ways they could have been better set up to win more games in 2025, you know, in last offseason. But them getting to the ALCS, getting nine outs away from the World Series, is a big accomplishment. They also won the AL West, which was awesome. But this team won 90 games. Like, it's not like they set the world on fire. Like, they had that amazing run in September, which again stemmed from the trade deadline and then getting their pitching healthy as well. That coincided very nicely. But again, they won 90 games. Like, they limped into the trade deadline, desperately needing additions that could have been addressed in the offseason meaningfully and were not. The additions were made, credit there, and they went on a run. And that's that. Like, if they won the World Series, I think I would literally be saying the same thing. Like, I think I still know who Jerry is. And this season didn't really change that for me. Like, in their competitive window, which I'll say started a little early and out of nowhere with the fun differential team in 2021. You could say it started in 2022, which is fair, but I'm just going to go past 5 years. They've won 90 games, 88 games, 85 games, 90 games. It just so happened that 90 won the West this season, and they got to the ALCS Game 7. But that could have happened any time these last 5 years, because a lot is out of the Mariners' control. But what's in his control is more or less that win total. Now, on paper, again, this team was better than the past 4 years. It's the best team he's ever put on paper, largely due to that trade deadline. But the offense was good this year. The pitching was hurt. The bullpen could have been better. Like, they had Randy at the deadline last season, carried him over into this season. That was cool. It didn't work out last year, but he was great this year. Like, Jerry went and got shit done in the middle of the year this year to put up a great team post-July. But still, I feel like I'm in the same spot with opinions on him. So that's where I stand with Jerry DePoto. I really don't think a whole lot differently. Like, call me a hater, but I also feel like I don't hate him as much as a lot of fans. I still think he's a solid GM. Again, he's done a lot of good stuff, but this did not change my tune on how I feel about him. Now, this offseason could potentially change my tune for a lot of reasons. They both will have to spend money to replace money that's coming off the books. A lot of money is coming off the books. A lot of money in their eyes, I should say. And then there will be, on top of the money coming off the books, a little bit of added payroll, probably. So I think this is probably the most money he's had to spend. Like, truly, he's going to have to at least replenish what they've lost. And I think this is the most money he's had with this team, like, at his disposal to use. And so after this offseason, maybe he does some stuff this offseason that I'm really, like, on his team or not. Because there's so much more freedom this offseason, I think, for him. And there's not a lack of talent out there for him to spend the money on. So I think this offseason could potentially change my opinion of him, but we'll see. Might not. All right, let's get into the actual team. What went well with this team this season? I mean, the offense had a great year, and they were having a great year compared to years past before they even got Josh Naylor and Geno at the deadline. Like, their offense had a 110 WRC plus through July 31st this year, tied with the Jays for fourth in the league at that point, and they finished with a 113 on the year, tied for second in Major League Baseball with the Dodgers. Largely attributable to bringing back Polanco and him having a fantastic year at the plate. Like, it had its ups and downs. He was George Bonds in April, had a pretty dreadful next couple months and then picked it back up. But on the whole, what did he end with? Won the 131 WRC plus? Where is my chart? Yeah, 132 WRC plus on the year for him, which is crazy, which was a career best in more or less a full season, 138 games, 524 plate appearances. Like, he had his injury that hampered him, and it was a weird way to bring him back to play third base that didn't address third base at all because he was awful, and he DH'd only from the left side for a little bit, but was so good they had to do it. And then he settled in, had a great year DHing, and then played second base a lot down the stretch and in the playoffs, had great playoff moments for them in the DS. Just fantastic year for him. And the offense was also obviously boosted a lot by Cal's season. I mean, what is there even left to say about him? Like, he was unreal this year. Starting the year, like I said, with Randy was awesome. Just having him for a full year was great. He was on pace to have comfortably his best season in Major League Baseball, and then he really tailed off in September. But his April to August was great. Julio, again, a very Julio season, like treaded water at the plate until the late summer months, and then was just awesome again. So this offense was the driving force of this team this year, which is crazy. Heading into this season, me and most other people expected this to be another business-as-usual Mariners season, right, where they probably have a top 10 pitching staff at worst, and the offense is probably going to be closer to league average with, like, Randy starting the year with him, but they didn't really do enough to address first base or third base or even the corner outfields. Like, you expected Robles to be fine all year, and then he got hurt. But then they flipped the script, and it was the pitching was hurt and then not amazing even when they were pitching. And the offense was fairly steady, and then they got deeper and better at the trade deadline. Now, the bottom of the order was still not in a good spot for most of the year. Like I said, that offense was being kept afloat by those main guys, but that's not a terrible problem to have. I mean, you had your top three guys in Julio, Randy, and Cal. Julio had 710 plate appearances, Randy had 709, Cal had 705, which were 8th, 10th, and 11th in Major League Baseball, respectively, in play appearances. Combined with their rate stats, like, that is an awesome set of production from the three guys that you fully expected to be your best hitters going into the year. Like, you 100% were penciling down those three as your top three going into the season. Like, and they posted pretty much every day, and they hit really well. Like, Cal's year. We're all going to look back on this and just marvel at the season he had. Like, it's not even sad to say this is his peak offensively, because if, like, this is his peak and then he doesn't reach this again, it's like, that it's an unreal peak, like the best season of a catcher we've ever seen. 60 home runs, 110 runs, 125 RBIs, 14 stolen bases, which in the modern 2025 baseball environment, that's not as impressive as like 10 years ago, but still 161 WRC plus, 9.1 F4. He cut his K rate to 26.7, walked almost 14%. Just unreal. And played 159 games. 705 plate appearances from a catcher is crazy. I mean, he caught, 130? DH'd some. He took no days off, basically. It just awesome from him. And then they were tough to pitch to, this team, as well. They only got tougher at the trade deadline to pitch to with the additions of Naylor and Gino, but they were a tough team to pitch to. I mean, you had J.P. Crawford have a pretty normal, on the whole, it evened out to pretty much a normal J.P. Crawford year at the plate. He was 13% better than league average, according to WRC+. K rate below 20%, walk rate above 10%, a little bit of power, not a ton, but sees a bunch of pitches, gets on base. Having him and Randy in this lineup made them so much harder to pitch to. They grind out at bats, those two. And then Cal, too. Cal this year was just such a good hitter that he was impossible to pitch to. He ended up hitting 247, which is a career best for him. And he took a lot of pitches this year. And he also just drew a lot of walks because guys realized he's going to barrel everything they throw close to the zone and launch it over the fence. And then Naylor and Gino come in, and Gino did not look amazing in a Mariners uniform. He had his moment in the playoffs, but that wasn't even that unpredictable. I feel like I said that could absolutely happen and it wouldn't be shocking, and then it did. But Naylor was awesome. Naylor was everything that they could have asked for. In the 54 games he played, I think by war, I tweeted this out, I think he had the third best season of the last decade from a Mariners first baseman by war in just 54 games. He came in with the bat that kind of was perfect for this team, where he can hit for power, but that's not what he does best. He just doesn't strike out. He makes a ton of contact. Is just what you would absolutely call a professional hitter. And he also stole 19 bags for the team, which is absolutely batshit insane. And he was exactly what they needed. 137 WRC plus from him after they acquired him. Just precisely what they needed. And he was a real first baseman in the field. You had Dom Canzone come up for kind of a make or break stint in the league. This was his third opportunity. You were wondering, I wasn't going to buy in again. I wasn't going to get hurt again. And you were just wondering, can he do it? Can he finally make enough contact, cut his K rate and whiff? And he did. He lit the world on fire. His contact rates were up. His K rate was way down. Sample size wasn't huge, but it was big enough to tell us that he absolutely made improvements. 268 plate appearances is half a season. And half a season, 141 WRC plus, that'll freaking do. I don't think he's that good of a hitter. I don't think anyone thinks that. But the improvements were absolutely there. You could just tell. His postseason, very forgettable. But that is what it is. That was crazy that he ended up doing that, putting up those type of numbers. What they were just missing on offense was the guys on the fringes to perform, and that's where they need. That's what I'm talking about with developing hitting. They need to keep producing Dylan Moores and not 2025 Dylan Moores, because God, his fall off was depressing. They need to keep producing guys like Dylan Moore. They needed Miles Mastrobioni to be better than he was at the plate. Luke Raley's year was bad. I'm fully hoping he gets back on track next year. But they need, Mitch Garver, they need to have a better backup catcher who's closer to league average at the plate. You got to watch for guys like Cole Young next season. Cole Young and Harry Ford, top prospects, they are going to need to be contributors next season, because I think Harry Ford, if he doesn't get traded, is just going to be the backup. And I think Cole Young is just going to be the second baseman. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. He's one of your top prospects. I think he should be. But that's what I'm talking about with hitting development, is what they're going to need next season. But they got enough from those guys this season. And then in the playoffs, the bottom of their order did just get exposed a little bit. Like, they couldn't... You watch the Blue Jays bottom of the order in the postseason. Like, they were unreal. Like, Ernie Clement and Addison Barger and even, like, yeah, like, Andrés Giménez just had such a good postseason for them, setting the table for their big boppers at the top of the order. And that's kind of what the Mariners were missing. Like, they needed JP to be better down there. And then, like, they just didn't get anything super competitive besides that one great hit from Leo Rivas and Canzone. It looked a little too bright for them in the postseason, but on the whole, again, this offense was what made this team tick this year. And God, they desperately need to bring Naylor back. Like, they really do. And that's kind of all that went well for this team this year, because if you go into what went wrong, actually, you know what? Let's go. What went right on the pitching staff this year? Because some went right. September, the month of September, the pitching staff looked great. That was a huge reason why they made that push. It was paired with their already good offense. They won however many games. Like, what was it? 19 of 20 games in September. Won the division. Made the playoffs as the 2 seed. The pitching getting healthy and then shoving in September was a huge reason for that. 3.37 team ERA that month, 4th in the league. And as a team, that's pretty much about it of what was good. Like, as a team, from the team level pitching perspective, they had 2 Luis Castillos start games for them this year. That was pretty fun. Not necessarily a good thing for the team winning wise, but it was fun. And then on an individual level, the only 2 qualified starters they had this season, Brian Wu and Luis Castillo. Brian Wu, one of the best pitchers in baseball this year. Truly upsetting that he didn't get a shot to get over 200 innings. He was trending to basically hit 200 almost exactly until he strained his pec late in the year. He ends with 2.9 for ERA. Did the thing that he does best. Leaned on one of the best pitches in baseball in his fastball. Command looked better. Was confident. Was really good at inducing soft contact this season. He'll get zapped for home runs here and there. I think that's just going to be a flaw in his game based on how many fastballs he throws in the zone. I think that's just going to have to happen. But, I mean, there's not much more you could ask from him. And then Luis Castillo had another good year. 180 and 2/3 innings, 3.54 ERA. Made 32 starts, led the team in starts. He led the team in starts this year. Like, my biggest concern on the staff, and you know this, was him going into this season. And he just delivered another solid year. Like, where you could see his aging again this year. You could see it, but it's gradual. And I think that's the thing I talked about, is like, thank God it's been gradual. He's aging fairly traditionally for a pitcher. And he just put in another good year. And he's a pitcher you need on your team sometimes. Like, he was, like, his nickname is The Rock. He and Wu, like, they held it down when this pitching staff was in a really bad place for a lot of the year. Like, Logan Gilbert was hurt and only threw 131 innings, and that was up and down with what he threw. Like, whiff-wise, it was his best year by far. He was the best swing-and-miss pitcher in starting pitcher in baseball when he pitched, but it was mixed with these bad starts and here and there, and then he couldn't go more than like 4 innings for a while. Kirby was just inconsistent and also hurt. Bryce had those bone spurs, and when he pitched was pretty awful in the regular season and did not look healthy. Like, you had, Emerson Hancock and Logan Evans throw 159 and two-thirds innings for this team. That is what went wrong. 3.87 team ERA this season. That's not good. 13th in Major League Baseball. And for a contending Seattle-based professional baseball team, that is really not good. Like, despite still being in the top half of the league, it's not good. You need, like, it's not a good ERA for Seattle, for a team that was expected to have a better rotation than this. And, like, really, what derailed it was health. Like, it was just health. But that's, like, that's predictable. That is also something I talked about going into the years. How healthy this pitching staff had been was almost a negative for me going into this year, because it's pitching and it's 2025. Pitchers get hurt more than ever, and pitchers already used to get hurt a lot because pitching is so bad for you. So this wasn't shocking. It just sucked. It just sucked, and their reinforcements were not good enough. Like, Emerson Hancock was their, when did they pick him? Like, fourth overall in 2018? 19, I want to say? Logan Evans is this player development marvel who I think is actually incredibly interesting going into next season as a depth starter. I think there's something there. But, and Emerson Hancock looked better as a reliever, but I still don't know if he's good. They pitched too many innings this year. It's not their fault. They had to throw that many innings and they weren't ready. If you look at their ERA minus, it was 101, which is 18th in the league, which is not shocking. You take that raw ERA and you adjust it for park factor. And of course it's going to be worse than the raw because they pitch in Seattle. So overall, pitching. I mean, Brian Wu is, like, I'm incredibly biased as a Mariners fan, but he's one of my favorite pitchers to watch in the sport. Just cook when he's cooking, because it's just so athletic. The fastball just gets on you, and the best part is, you know, he's throwing it. Like, you know, he's throwing the fastball, and he just keeps throwing it at you. But hopefully this offseason, the pitching staff can get healthy. They could shake things up and trade one or multiple of these guys. They don't have reinforcements coming yet, really. All of their pitching prospects are young or lower down. Like Gerangelo and Sloan both look pretty sick, but I'd be shocked if they made their debuts next year. Like, maybe late in the year, maybe, if everything goes perfect. Like, Cade Anderson, like, you could hopium your way into saying Cade Anderson is 2026 Trey Savage, and just college pitcher who rises up through five levels of the minors and looks amazing in Major League Baseball. But this pitching staff's going to need to get healthy. And listen, there's chatter of a Detroit Tigers pitcher getting traded, and I'll probably talk about that next week. But the Mariners have they have no right to not be the leading team in trying to acquire his services. I will just leave it at that. I don't want to talk about that this episode. But the health betrayed him, and then that's pretty much it. They just weren't good enough for a Seattle Mariners pitching staff this season. Simply were not good enough. And then you get into the bullpen, and I don't even think the bullpen was bad per se. I think it was just very mediocre. Like, from a team level, it was balanced pretty nicely. The back of the pen genuinely looked awesome. The rest was just not good at all. If you told me before the season that Edward Bazzardo and Carlos Vargas would lead the bullpen in innings pitched and throw a combined 155 and two-thirds innings, Bazzardo threw sixth most of any reliever in baseball, Vargas eighth. 155 and two-thirds innings combined from those guys. If you told me that in March, I would have thought this team won 80 games. Like, that is absurd. But Bizarro was awesome. Like I mentioned earlier, actually makes me beam talking about how good he was this year. Now, don't look at his FIP and just look at the ERA. FIP is a bunch of woke nonsense anyway, so just don't look at it. But for Carlos Vargas, look at his FIP, actually. Flipped it around on you. Carlos Vargas is like the most modern, not good relief pitcher I've ever seen in my life. I don't think he's like perpetually not good. I think there could be something there. I think there's enough raw ability that there could be something there, or if you throw him enough, he could get really lucky for a whole year and put up like a 2 ERA with like a 3.8 FIP, but it would be awesome. But he's the most not good and perfect example of a not good modern relief pitcher, because if you watched his stuff, the eye test is like, oh my God, this guy must be one of the best pitchers in baseball. It's a turbo sinker coming at you fast. Like, if you threw Carlos Vargas back in the 70s, like, he would be annihilating guys. But no, he was just very, very not amazing. Like, and he only, what was his strikeout percentage? It is shockingly low. I talked about this midseason. 16.3% K rate. With that stuff is actually unreal. Like, it's crazy how little he strikes guys out for the stuff that he has. But the bullpen largely was like fine. Like, it wasn't amazing. The back of the pen was just so good that because the offense was better this year, it was easier to win games late than, but with close games, like a classic Seattle Mariners close game, it was dicier in those middle innings. When those starters couldn't, when Brian Wu wasn't pitching and going six or seven innings, it got a little dicey. When Brash wasn't healthy all year, like he was still coming back from his surgery, and then when he was back, he threw 47 and a third and 2.47 ERA. Just looked great. Spire was awesome. Munoz had a phenomenal year. They just picked up his option. Like I don't want to say his best years are behind him. He's still only 26. He's going to be 27 next year. I'm looking at the velocity, though, the past three seasons. I'm looking at it. I'm not going to say what it is, but I'm noticing. And then Bizarro, man. Bizarro just became the fourth guy for them after those main three, which is the good main three. And then Bizarro became the fourth guy. You saw it in the playoffs. And that's kind of insane that he did. But I think he's going to be a useful pitcher next season. I just worry about his arm severely. I severely worry about his arm because he threw, on top of the 78 and two-thirds innings in the regular season, he then threw 11 and two-thirds in the postseason. So I worry greatly about him next season. And what was incredibly disappointing from the bullpen this year, what they got from Caleb Ferguson post-deadline, not great. But again, you're just at the mercy of a two-month sample from a relief pitcher. And I still think Caleb Ferguson is a good lefty to have in your pen. And he was not what they needed. And they really needed it, especially in the postseason. It was really disappointing to see what Gregory Santos and Troy Taylor did not end up doing for this team at the major league level, and that was pitch well or pitch often. I think this offseason they'll need to pay a certifiably great relief pitcher a good amount of money to help this bullpen out, which is very risky to do. You saw it with Tanner Scott this year. It doesn't always work. Or more the more likely scenario is they probably make a trade for a good relief pitcher. I think they're going to do something, obviously. They will throw a bunch of cash consideration deals and minor league deals with major league options at a bunch of guys, as every team does, and especially the Mariners, to try to find diamonds in the rough, as they like to try to do. But they're just going to need to, like, they really just need to trade for Pete Fairbanks, really, I think, is what they need to do. And I think the bullpen is going to have to, it should cost them more money next season. They should be spending more money in the bullpen. Like, they really are going to need it. But then on top of that, I think you need Gregory Santos or Troy Taylor. You need one of those guys to look great next season if this team wants to have a good bullpen. No matter what they do to address it in free agency with trades internally, and I think the eyes are more on Gregory Santos because they gave up a decent amount for him, whereas Troy Taylor was developed in the system, and I still think he's in the mix next season. I still like him, but I think Gregory Santos has earned... He's had a year at the major league level where he's looked great, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. They need him next season. They need the 2023 version of Gregory Santos really badly. He needs it. The Mariners need it because they acquired him, and he's pitched 14 and a third innings for this team over two seasons and has looked absolutely garbage. In those innings, he's looked actually terrible. Seven innings last season, he didn't strike out a single batter. 0 K per nine. And 10.29 walks per nine. Terrible. Like, they are going to need him or Troy Taylor to just be good this year. Because no matter what they add, they still need innings. Like, they had Casey Legomena, the big bean, throw 48 and two-thirds this season. They had a bad version of Trent Thornton throw 42 and a third. A bad version of Colin Snyder throw 26 and a third. Jackson Cower, who isn't good, 17 innings. A chunk of those innings that went to those guys this season, 77 innings for Carlos Vargas, for Christ's sake. Like, I hope he can be better next year, but they need a chunk of those innings I just mentioned to go to an acquisition or two that you can trust, and then the rest need to go to Santos and Taylor, and you need to be able to trust them. That's what they're going to need next season. I think I'm done talking about this season, honestly. We'll take the off season and its valleys to dig into more granular stuff for certain guys. I tend to do that anyway, and I'll probably fill in some podcasts here and there, like talking about Dom Canzone's zonal hitting and maybe his contact rates. You know, maybe I'll go into Julio and glaze him for a whole episode. But then we'll have peaks. Jerry will make acquisitions. I'll put out episodes for those. I'm already thinking about what they'll need for next season. And, like, without even talking about the specific free agent trades or acquisitions to address the issues, like, I fear that the offensive outcome for this 2025 team that happened was, like, the 90th percentile outcome for that group of players. Like, I don't think you're getting that offensive season from Cal. That's a very cold take. I don't think he's going to hit 60 home runs again. I think Julio's an absolute superstar, and you can probably expect that from him again next year. If you re-sign Jorge Polanco and Josh Naylor, which would be a great start to building this team back next season, I don't know if you can even expect... No, you can expect a 132 WRC plus from Polanco next season. You can probably expect him to be a good hitter, but you can't just bank that. Naylor, too. Like, 137 WRC plus for the Mariners, I just don't... I think he's closer to like 115, 120 maybe if they re-sign him for next season. Like, I really do think they hit an absolute home run, for lack of a better term, with most of their offensive outcomes from last season. Like, Randy is Randy. I don't think he's going to change a whole lot. JP is a real interesting discussion this offseason, but I just, if you go into next season expecting the offense to put up similar numbers, I just don't think that's going to happen. And so what you're going to have to do is try to supplement it with more offensive additions or make some changes on the pitching staff to really, like, the pitching is going to have to be better next season, because I'm just expecting offensive regression, because I don't think this team is going to go out and sign a Kyle Tucker or a Kyle Schwarber on top of, like, Naylor and Polanco. So that's where I'm at with this team. And I think I'm going to cut it there, because I'm going to put out a more comprehensive free agent acquisition, acquisition yearning episode for this baseball team, probably, hopefully, next week or in the next week and a half-ish. But thank you so much for listening to this one. This was more or less a season recap, but I didn't want to get too in the weeds, because, like I said, in the valleys of the offseason, I will probably take a look at some of these guys' 2025s a little bit more closely by the numbers. But I appreciate you listening to this one. I appreciate you listening all season long. The offseason is poisonous, but I also kind of love the offseason in a lot of ways. We also have a shorter offseason this year. The WBC is happening in March, which is very fun. Or February? Whatever. That's going to shorten the offseason, which is really cool. Like, that'll be super fun. So, looking forward to that. But again, I'll be back in my next episode mentioning more big names that the Mariners won't sign. But of course, I hope you have a great rest of your week. And I'll leave you with the first Go Mariners of the offseason.